Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It is 7:05 in the morning, and our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. I'm sorry, I'm having a little start, but I can't hear myself in the earphones here. Now I can. That's because we have a new man on the board. That's right. You know, we're training new people here. We're bringing the youth of America into the station. They'll never be the same. So instead of Bad Bob, who is still here, he's kind of standing back to the side there, kind of like an overprotective, mother hen over her chick. We have Sean on the board. Okay, turn on the microphone. There you go. Bring it down. Say hello.
Good morning.
That's enough. Okay, we're going to give him, he's always smiling, so this is going to be Smiling Sean. We'll see if we can't do something about that later on today. Just try to keep the microphones on and the headphones on, unlike your predecessor, Bad Bob. Hey, you know, today is going to be a lonely day for all of us. Linda is on assignment. That's right. Linda is on assignment. She has a plethora of duties to do today. But we're going to try and keep you amused. We're going to have any number of great guest in here. We're going to be talking about a number of things. And I'd like to start off with my favorite subject, President Obama. It appears that the Obama myth, which we reported here yesterday and is on the front page of the Record Searchlight, but we, of course, broke that news yesterday. I'll talk a little bit more about it, is that the number of people that believe that President Obama is a Muslim has risen to about 18%. That's up from 11%. And that he is a Christian has fallen. And the White House even had to make a statement yesterday, and a very terse statement that said, President Obama is a Christian. He prays every day. Well, I want you to know is that, frankly, I believe there's more people praying every day now since the president has taken office than probably before. And they will continue to do so. But what about the other myths? I mean, like, you know, some people have said that, did he really go to Colombia? Nobody ever saw him there. And one guy wrote an article that he was the president of the class. He didn't know who he was. But then there was other people that said, no, we knew him. You know, he even had an article in the school newspaper there. And the other one about how he traveled. President Obama traveled all over the world as a young man. And there came the urban myth was, which passport did he use? Was it the United States passport? How did he afford all that money? How did he afford to go to all these schools? Who paid for it? Obviously, it's a plot. I personally think that we should concentrate on what the president is doing right now with his lack of planning on our economic system, what he's done with the health care plan that is turning around, and people are already starting to see is that, yes, your health care plan is changing. Businesses are already looking about, gosh, we can't really afford that. We're going to have to make some drastic changes here. And then we have the other things that are going on, like financial reform, where everybody has to 1099. Everybody's having to do all of these different things. That's going to be a big change. And, of course, cap and trade, doing away with don't ask and don't tell without input from the services. And, of course, Obama's war in Afghanistan. You know, if there's anything that I, as an American, would concentrate on, it's these numerous things he's doing and not worry too much on where he got his money to travel around the world. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. We are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can hop on the chat room there, and Bob will be on the other side of the chat room and making his pithy comments, as will we. Give us your input on what's going on. We've got a big day today, and we're going to be rocking with things that are going on in town, things are going on that could really personally affect you if you're had a couple of beers and you're driving around, and a number of other surprises. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. Linda's on assignment, and the weather today is 64, and it's going to be a great day, going up to at least 98. You know, yesterday was a great day, you know, even though it seemed like it was hotter yesterday than it was supposed to be, but beautiful day. It's a beautiful morning, and the weather is brought to you by Anselmo's. And speaking of Anselmo's, we're going to be out there tonight. Linda is singing with her group of friends, Rick Hill, John Gonzalez, Bruce Kalin, of course, Lou White. They're going to be up there and doing some great jazz. And if you need reservations, you need to call Anselmo's. I think yesterday they gave us a call and said that it was pretty much sold out. They had some room for a few smaller groups, maybe three or four people left. So if you want to get in for the music, give them a call up there and say you want to be in for the music. Our guest this morning is, for the next segment here, is going to be talking about MASH. That's right, MASH. Good morning. Okay, try again. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
See, it's the switches right there, Sean. You turn them to the right, okay, to make sure everybody's on. And Bob, you might want to stand there. You've come on today to do to talk to us about a great new play that's coming up.
Right.
That you're doing right here locally.
Yes, we are. We were very fortunate. We got the West Coast premiere rights for the play MASH, and we wanted to do this as a fundraiser for Westside Performing Arts. So basically what I did as director and producer was to contact a lot of the various theater groups and try to make this more of a collaborative effort. And we've been very, very fortunate because we've gotten some of the best people in theater in Northern California have come on board to be a part of this. Bill, who's here with me, Bill Collins, and Lisa Murphy Collins, who are just prolific writers and directors in their own right, have come on board as my assistant directors, and Trish Spinner, who's nationally known, and also the head of Westside Performing Arts, has come on board as my co-producer. And
great, MASH is an iconic play and part of America, I guess you could say now. From the movie to the TV show that lasted 86 years, we watched Hawkeye become a great grandfather and finally have to be euthanized.
Yeah, well, kids will do that too.
Anyway, and we were joined by Bill Collins.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you know what? Let me give you a round of applause here.
Yeah.
Club Dead,
great show, great cast.
Hey, let me tell you something. If you miss Club Dead, you missed probably one of the best performances, the best plays that's ever hit Reading. I've heard this from people that, you know, they go to these and they go, eh, you know, and they actually guffawed and laughed and said that this was the people in it, the writing, the music, everything was absolutely magnificent.
Well, thank you very much, Carl.
Well,
Lisa and I accept that, and we really felt blessed with the show and how it evolved and the songs we wrote for it and wrote for the cast that came on. It was a stellar cast, and we're glad to be part of it.
Well, and then now we're going to the next level here with MASH. Right. And tell us about I know that you've told us that you've got the rights, West Coast rights to MASH. And you're looking to really get the production kicked off.
Right. Our auditions are Monday and Tuesday night. And this is somewhat different because we're actually opening this up. This is an open casting call. And it doesn't matter whether or not you've had experience on stage or not. If it's something you've wanted to try, then this is an opportunity to give it a shot. And the response that we've gotten has been just unbelievable, the calls that we're getting on a daily basis from seasoned professionals who saw, you know, that we were going to be doing this and really want to be a part of it, to a lot of people go, you know, I've never been on stage before. And we're like, come on out. This is going to be a lot of fun. Because everybody knows MASH, you know, and the play itself is based on the original book, which was written by Richard Hooker. And so you think you know all the characters, but this is going to be an actor's dream as far as getting on stage, because the pacing on this is unbelievable. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
Yeah, it'll actually be an ensemble work. We'll have up to maybe 30 people that are in the cast. There's 15 men and 15 women roles in the production. And they'll all be on stage at one point. They won't all have the focus, but they'll all be doing their thing. And it's like a ballet. My wife mentioned, looking through the script the first time, she said, gee, this is more like a ballet, that everyone's there all the time and moving. And though the focus is on the dialogue, whatever the dialogue is on one part of the stage, the whole thing is going to be constantly moving, just like the MASH camp was. There was a constant flow of people in and out, and doctors and coming in and out. So it's very exciting. It's a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. But hopefully we'll get a lot of people that are auditioning that haven't acted before. And we encourage you, please come out, because that's the only way to get on it, is to step on the stage and do it. And we're there to help you.
I understand that Bad Bob was throwing his name in the hat there for Hot Lips, because you said it was an open casting. Oh, okay. No, that was the wrong one. Okay. So but the show is also your show. MASH is also being tied into something else.
Right. We are. MASH isn't going to be just a stage play. This is actually going to be an event. We've partnered with the Veterans Museum. And we're going to be providing some entertainment for their MASH Bash on September 25th, because prior to Curtain Up, we've got actually a USO show which is going to be going on, which Trish Finner's putting together. And we're going to have some displays in the foyer out there for the veterans groups. They're going to have some displays. The Veterans Museum's got a fully equipped ambulance from the Korean War that's going to be parked out front along with Jeeps. I mean, there's going to be food. This is going to be just a terrific event. And what's nice is we get to have a lot of fun and raise some money for West Side Performing Arts, which does some great stuff. They've got an after-school program for kids, which is great. And as you know, right now, you know, unfortunately in these economic times, you know, arts budgets are usually the first things to get cut. So we get to raise some money for the arts and just have a terrific time.
Yeah, it ends up the after-school program is with the Reading School District, and we did it last fall. Very successful program, put on a play with all the kids from all the different schools that participated at one point at the McLaughlin Theater. So we're back again, and it's to support that after-school program, which helps everybody. Helps the parents, helps the kids. And it's going to be a great show.
Yeah. Hey, we have to take a quick break here. We've been talking about MASH and how the play that's coming up here in September, and how it's going to it's a fundraiser not only just for the West Side Performing Arts and the kids for that, but also for the Northern California Veteran Heritage Museum.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great way to put it together, because you know, especially with the play MASH. This is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda. Bot, good morning. It is 7:24 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. On Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito, just go down and you'll see a bunch of satellites out there. Doug Tooley, the owner, has been serving local customers since 1985, except for the time he spent in the 82nd Airborne. He's a local man that guarantees his work. He does Dish TV. He guarantees his work. We get phone calls from people saying thank you for introducing him to them so that he could put in their surround systems. That's B&T Satellite 244-1988. Our guests are Wade Riggs and Big Collins.
Beep, 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 beep. That's a satellite. I got one of his satellite dishes. I was
leaning across there to smack Sean up the side of the head going, what is that sound? And it's Bill Collins over here making satellites.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the satellite dish guy. I know that. I got his satellite in my truck. It's a long cable to get to my TV set, though. That's the only problem with it.
We're talking about MASH, and thank goodness we've only got 4 minutes left. In the
it's a we could leave because Bill could take over. Trust me.
What?
Well, you know what? Well, let's just bring Barbara Harrison on. I need some help here. Barbara, good morning. Barbara, good morning. You are on KCNR. I've got Wade Riggs here and Bill Collins. You know what? Bill's over here making satellite sounds, and I couldn't figure out. I was looking at everything to figure out what was going wrong.
Thank God you didn't sell foghorns.
Yeah. Barbara.
Good morning. Good morning.
Movies in the Park.
You're doing it alone today, huh?
Yeah, you know what? She's on assignment.
She's
got a show tonight, and she's doing a lot of stuff for her new show that's getting ready to open next month.
Hey, I just wanted to remind you guys, if you wouldn't mind putting this on the air. I guess I'm already on the air.
Yes, you are.
Movies in the Park is tonight at the Convention Center, and it's Swiss Family Robinson. Should be a lot of fun. We'll have some guys running around in costume. And should be good. Should be a nice warm evening, and come and enjoy.
I think that sounds like a great idea. You know, it's kind of casual. It's free. It's PG rated or G rated?
It's T rated.
T rated.
T rated. I mean, it's a family deal.
Yeah.
Then
this is the old one.
No drinking. No dogs.
No, especially the no dogs.
Oh, you got it.
Wait a minute. Okay, Bill just brought his dog in.
Oh, Jesus! Listen to those guys.
Oh, Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Barbara, what time does that start?
Well, people start showing up around 7:30, 8 o'clock. The movie usually starts at dusk, and it's getting darker a little bit earlier every evening, so it could be, 8:45.
Okay, all right. So Movies in the Park is going to be Swiss Family Robinson, and it's going to be there probably by 7:15.
Yeah, and then you get to meet and greet, and it's a lot of fun.
That's right, and don't bring your dog.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, that or the cat.
Tell him to be quiet.
You know,
I'm going to
roll up a newspaper and see him on the news.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thanks, Carl.
You know, that's the best part about having a radio show. You have control of everything that's going on.
Can I bring my chicken?
No, don't bring your chicken.
How about a duck?
Okay, I saw
you. Buy a duck.
I saw your duck. You don't want to show people your duck.
All right, back to MASH.
Okay, now. Okay, let's start with the auditions are going to be Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday night at McLaughlin Theater.
That's right.
Registration is at 5:30 and auditions are 6 to 9. And I just wanted to say real quick, thank you so much, Carl, to you and Linda for supporting this, and also to all the people that have really stepped up. Powerhouse Solar is our corporate sponsor, and they've just, a great supporter of the arts. Come out to the auditions. This is going to be a lot of fun. If nothing else, come out and watch, because this is, you may decide you want to get up there and give it a shot.
Well, community theater, community support, that's what we do here at KCNR 1460, and you all put on great productions, and, people say, well, what's there to do in Reading? Well, there are lots of things to do in Reading. There's lots of things to get involved with. There's we have the ability here to have the plays like this, plays like Club Dead, and that people get involved. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Okay, the rehearsals will be one more time.
Okay, auditions are Monday and Tuesday night.
Or auditions, I should say.
Registration at 5:30 McLaughlin Theater on end of Placer.
The east end of Placer. Just if you're downtown, just head east, and you'll run almost right into the theater. Please stop.
And that's on Sequoia Street then.
Correct.
Sequoia at Placer, correct.
Okay, and you've got spots for 26 people and
30.
30 people.
30.
And there are no spots already taken.
It's an open casting.
No, it's an open casting. So,
great. Okay, we've got to take a break here. Thank you so much for stopping by, Wade Riggs. I'm not going to thank you, Bill.
Can I bring my mule?
You can bring your mule next time, Bill. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Honey, you're lucky right now that you're not here. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Ooh, a goat.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio 1460. This is Carl and Linda Bott. And Linda is out on assignment. Good morning. It is 7:34 in the morning. It's going to be 98 degrees today. It is currently 65. I think it's going to be a great day today. Yesterday it heated up toward the end, but I think it's going to be a great day. We have on phone line 2, Amy, with our fitness tip. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you doing today, Amy?
I'm good. Good morning, Linda.
Linda is not here. She is on assignment. She's kind of like a... She's got a show tonight. She's got a show tonight she's working on, and then she's, her other show is going to premiere early in September, and she's getting some things done with that. They have to be done this morning, too.
Oh, that is so exciting.
It is exciting. I think it's going to be a show unlike anything else here.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
No, it's going to be great. It's going to have, well, you know, I think you're going to be associated a little bit with it there in fitness, but it's going to be all types of different things for the city of Reading.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
So what does Adamson's Peak Performance and Amy Palko have for us today?
Well, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this crazy egg recall we've been having.
Yes.
And so what I kind of wanted to talk about is other options for breakfast. And again, I bring up breakfast again. I know I happened to mention it before, but I'm having a lot of clients that are also coming in and working out without having eaten any breakfast. And it's just, people have got to get into their heads that it's got to be the most important meal of the day. I need people to eat that breakfast to break the fast, thus the name of the word, you know. We've been sleeping all those hours. So the very first thing people need to do in the morning is get some water in their system before coffee, before tea, before food. And then within a half hour to 45 minutes of waking up, I need people to eat breakfast. And so what I hear a lot of times is, oh, I'm just not ready for breakfast in the morning. Well, one of the quickest and easiest things you can do is make yourself a quick smoothie or a quick shake. Buy some really good quality protein powder. We have a lot of great choices down at the gym. And you just make yourself, you know, throw a couple scoops of the protein powder in, add milk or water, blend it up, and drink it down. And you've got the calories, you've got the good nutrients, you're getting good protein and good carbohydrates. And it's just important that people make sure they fuel themselves. Now, if there are people who are good breakfast eaters and they are a little stumped by not having their regular eggs in the morning, then try some Greek yogurt with some fruit. Greek yogurt is an awesome breakfast. It's got a high protein value, more so than your regular yogurts will have. Oatmeal with some fruit and maybe having a little bit of cottage cheese on the side for a little protein value. Peanut butter and toast. Come on, it's a classic. So it doesn't take much, but just a little
something. Sounds pretty darn healthy there, Amy. Am I running eggs into 6 pounds of bacon? Are you going to try to tell me may not be the ideal way to start the morning?
No, donuts don't count either.
Oh, wait a minute. If they don't count, that's great then.
Not in my, oh, no, no, no. They count as too many calories.
Oh, okay, but not jelly donuts. That's different.
Because of the fruit. Is that what you're
saying? That's it. You have some fruit with your, you're saying they have fruit,
nice,
and it's kind of, it's been processed a little bit.
I don't think so.
Oh, Amy. You know, if you didn't live that lifestyle and be the physical goddess that you are, you could take this with a grain of salt. But you obviously, you walk the walk and talk the talk there.
But see, I have to be like the food cop, you know?
Oh, that's just what we need. You know, you're going to probably become a czar in the Obama nation here. So. Okay.
All right.
Anything else, Amy?
No, that's it for today.
Well, you know what? We surely appreciate every week that you call in. You or Joe Adamson from Adamson's Peak Performance calling in with that fitness tip, because every one of them is good. You know, something as simple as get off the couch, walk down the street. There's your beginning. Mm-hmm. Have a glass of water in the morning and get started that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Amy, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you soon.
You know it.
Great. Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. Our guest for our next segment here is Monty Height. Now, Monty writes articles for the paper about things you shouldn't do when you're driving, things that you do that maybe you could do better while you're driving. Plus, Monty is not a one-dimensional kind of guy, though. He's got ideas about a lot of things. I'm sure we'll kind of, as we roll through here talking about DUIs and checkpoints, there may be a couple of things that might pop out of his mouth as we go along here. This is Carl Lindebaum on Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment and getting ready for tonight's show out in Selmo's. She's going to be singing out there with Rick Hill on acoustic guitar, Bruce Kalin, Lou White, and John Gonzalez. They always have a great time. They put on a great show out there. You know, it's part of the summer music series that Linda set up with RC and Chicken Anselmo out there. For the Friday nights every other week. It's been a great success. And if you want to go out there tonight, and you have to call out there and make reservations because they fill the place up early. And then next week, the 27th, is the last in this series, the last performance in this series. My guest for our segment here, Monty Hyde. Good morning.
Morning, Carl.
You're ready.
I'm ready to roll.
You're ready to roll.
Ready to go.
Okay, we came in here. You write a great article in the Record Searchlight on automobiles, laws, what you can do, what you shouldn't do. But today you're going to come in. We wanted to start talking about there's going to be an increase.
Right, our DUI campaign for the summer, the Avoid the 6 and the Avoid the 5 for those folks down in Tehama County and the Avoid the 6 up here in Shasta County. And it kicks off, it actually kicked off at 1 minute after midnight this morning, and we'll go through Labor Day through the 6th. And what basically is just a focus on awareness on driving under the influence, and it's a combined effort with the 6 law enforcement agencies here in Shasta County. Tonight having a DUI checkpoint down in Anderson.
Do they say where they're at?
No, we don't say where they are.
Oh, okay.
I did. It's in Anderson.
Oh, okay. So if you've got your favorite little place, you stay at Anderson at Friday nights, you may want to go out and, if you want to imbibe, which is fine. You're an adult.
Absolutely.
You have to drink responsibly, or you have a designated driver.
Yeah, and the designated driver, we want to make sure is the sober driver. That's not just the least drunk of the group.
There you go.
It's the sober driver.
Yeah, this is the one that can find the car.
Yeah. And then again, we have one tomorrow night here in Reading, and then through the course of the next 3 weeks, 18 days, we're going to have DUI saturation patrols. And when people ask, they say, well, how can we afford to do those type of things? You know, we're having all these budget cuts. We're doing all these. This funding comes from the Office of Traffic Safety. It's separate money. It's not money. It's separate money that was provided to the Reading Police Department, and they coordinate the funds, and they set it all up. So it's not so they can bring in extra officers on off their shifts and work DUI.
Okay. What's the ramifications of getting a DUI, Monty?
Well, basically, if it's a first offense, then you're going to end up losing your driver's license for a period of time, depending on the circumstances behind it. Usually 30 days, and then it may go into 6 months. It depends. A lot of people, if they fight it, then you're going to have defense attorneys involved. You're going to have
thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars, yeah. Right. And then you have a lot of fines and penalties. And DUI classes and all those things you have to pay for.
Isn't there something that you have to put a breathalyzer in your car?
If your blood alcohol level is 0.15 or higher upon your arrest, then you are going to be required to have the breathalyzer inside your car.
And that costs a lot of money too.
And that's generally around $70 a month that you have to pay. And for you buy the thing first of all, and then every month for like 3 years. You have to pay that for that program. So,
and you have to breathe into it every 20 minutes. So the car stops.
It gets that way. Yeah, so you aren't going on a long trip and hitting the bottle as you're driving going down the road. So,
oh, okay.
It's all set up so that it's not a convenient type of thing, but that's too bad, so sad. You know, you shouldn't put yourself in that position.
So you don't have to keep breathing continually while you're driving.
No,
okay.
You're hyperventilating as you're going down the road.
Gosh, you have to breathe every 20 minutes. I'm thinking, that could be kind of weird. You know, so you get pulled over by a highway patrolman for breathing into the breathalyzer because you have to do that. Your car stops doing 70 miles an hour. Okay. Well, okay, that's great. Now, I didn't even realize they had that program.
Yeah, they just started that. They've had it for a while, and they've changed the prerequisites for it. But now, here in Shasta County, our DA's office is very tough on DUIs, which is a good thing. And that's just one of those things. People say, well, it's just another money-making thing. The county doesn't get anything out of that, out of those type of things. Unfortunately, it's usually the vendor. Somebody has to pay. You know, we have to pay for those type of operations. But it's just a matter of trying to keep people from doing the right thing.
So this is just a warning to everybody that's out there, is that they're going to have more checkpoints. They're going to have more people on the road to make sure to see if people are drinking.
Right. Well, and not necessarily drinking, too. Here we were talking about that.
That's right.
You know, under the influence, you can be under the influence of marijuana, you can be under the influence of a combination of the two. You could have prescription medication. Maybe you're taking some type of painkiller. Maybe you're taking Vicodin and you're at home and you don't have any plans of going anywhere and you've taken a Vicodin and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I got to go pick up my son, my daughter. We got to do something. And next thing you know, you're out driving and it doesn't make any difference. If you're impaired, you're impaired.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's true. It is. It doesn't make any difference. No, and I tell you what, the new marijuana regulations, how hard has that made the law enforcement job?
You know, it's in fact, I was playing cards with a few guys last night, and some of them are involved in the program, and it's just, it's really difficult. It makes
they're involved in the medical marijuana program.
No, they're involved in the
law enforcement
law
side.
Enforcement
okay.
side of it. Yeah, and so, but realistically, somebody had written and asked me a question: how did I believe if the law changed and marijuana became lawful here in the state of California, how was that going to affect the law enforcement end of it? And the only the difference that I see, the big difference is that there's not any way that we're not going to increase the number of crashes, deaths, and arrests. They're just And people say, well, why would that be? And it's obvious. It's just like if you lowered the drinking age to 18 instead of 21. Initially, there are going to be a lot more people that are going to be, even though they may be drinking now, they're a little more cautious now.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that, well, it's okay, it's legal to have it, then they're going to go ahead and smoke it or drink it or do whatever they're going to do with it, and that's going to put them out in the public, and it's just going to cause havoc. It's absolutely going to be terrible.
Can they smoke at age 18?
That's 21.
It's going to be 21.
The law is going to be for 21.
For 21.
All right.
And it's not like something you can necessarily smell on them. So you'd have to do impairment.
Yeah. Well,
you watch them driving strange.
Yeah. What happens, we have what they call DREs, drug recognition experts, and a good percentage of law enforcement officers, especially those that are assigned to work in DUI, are drug enforcement experts. So their field sobriety tests are going to be a little bit different. Once they make a determination that it's not alcohol that's causing this person to be this way, and maybe it's not even, and there's no smell of marijuana, but maybe the guy ate some marijuana cookies or did something to that effect, then there are certain things that they're going to do, and they'll be measuring your blood pressure. It's a much more complex issue.
Wow. It has nothing to do if you watched them pull into a Taco Bell and buy 56 tacos,
yeah,
right? And they're just munching them as they're driving down the road.
Or it looks like it's up in smoke and everything's going out the window.
Yeah. Okay, we got to take a break here. Hey, this is Carl Indebott, our guest is Monty Hyatt. We're talking, DIs, but now driving under impairment, and especially with the new idea, with the new possibility of cannabis. Well, cannabis is here now because of medical marijuana. We talked a little bit about that, how now they're having to do completely new methods to check for impairment. Carl Indebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Diane.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:55 in the morning. It looks like it's 67 degrees. It's going to be up to 98 today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Last night they had the Cigar Night. Brickmaster people brought in a new line of cigars there. It was a manly time. We sat around. We had food. We smoked cigars. We talked to the guy. He gave us glasses. We sat there and there was a lot of smoking. But Joe and Shelley, you know, they put on really nice events, and it's a chance to go down and learn something about cigars if you like cigars, and then nobody's forcing anybody to come in there. That's what I like about it. And it's a great meeting room, and everybody there had a great time last night. So thanks again, Joe and Shelley. Thanks again for putting on an event like that for people that do enjoy a cigar now and then. Our guest is Monty Hyatt, and Monty writes for Record Searchlight once a week or once a month?
Every Saturday and Sunday. It's twice a week.
Okay, every Saturday and Sunday, and talking about... You're a retired California Highway Patrol.
Correct.
And so you write about things. And we're talking right now about marijuana and how things have changed when you're pulling people over, that you take blood pressure.
No, what you do, what happens is once they're to a point where they're impaired and there's no question, then they're placed in custody. They're in custody. Now it's a matter of determining what's causing this impairment. And the officer has to make an educated guess a lot of times as to, you know, is it... methamphetamine? Is it cocaine? Is it whatever, heroin? And so he, there's a set of tests that they go through, and there's a lot of things that they're checking your pupils, and they're checking your breathing and your respiratory and your pulse and blood pressure and all of those different things, so that they have an actual checklist, and you'll be entitled to a copy of that when you get arrested, and you'll be able to find out, oh, geez, I didn't realize this is what's
going to
happen.
This is the funny thing here, is that it sounds like that it's more of a physical examination than it is for the doctor that prescribes medical marijuana to you. You're finding out more about more time on them, and you're finding out more about them physically than a doctor that writes this recommendation who just says, you got $150, and takes it. The other thing, too, isn't an indicator a big indicator if they say, dude? I mean, hey, dude, what are you picking me up for, dude? No?
No.
If they use the word dude five times in a sentence, you just automatically pull them out. Come on, Monty, you can tell me.
You know, attitude usually has a little bit to do with a few things once in a while. But in reality, once you walk up to the car and all of a sudden you're just pelted in the face with this odor just comes rolling out.
They open the window and the joint comes out of the window before they do.
It's like, I can recall walking up and the guy's got shake or marijuana all over the front of his shirt because he's just rolled one and he's got one and he has no idea how did I figure that out. And look at him, it's all over you. Or you walk up and they got white stuff all over their mustache, or it's like, yeah, that's a clue.
Been eating sugar cookies.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. Well, this is when you came on for this segment on it, we were talking about the big thing is for the DUI. Well, it's be driving while impaired on all types of things. Here is starting out this weekend. In fact, started at midnight
this morning. Yeah, it started this morning.
And it's going to go through
Labor Day.
Through Labor Day. Extra police out because they've got a special funding for this, grant.
It's a special funding. It's extra different money. I know that I get a lot of feedback. They say, why are we wasting all our tax dollars on these DUI checkpoints when maybe you don't even arrest anybody? The whole idea is to get the education out there. And if anyone has been through a DUI checkpoint, it may take a minute or two of your time that you hadn't planned on. But the idea is to get the word out and to filter those people that, if you're that bad off that you go through a DUI checkpoint, you need to be arrested. I mean, here's our signs. There's every warning in the world telling you there's a DUI checkpoint up here. And if you end up driving through there and you're impaired, you really need to be taken off the road. So,
what if you see somebody turn around? Is that an indicator?
That's a clue. That's another clue. There,
okay, but if you see somebody,
you have to
kind of try and brazen it.
It's one
through.
Of those rights things that people say, well, I have the right. I don't have to go through them. And I say, no, you do not have to go through them.
That's right.
And if you decide that you want to go another direction, then go another direction. But I would just be a bit cautious that if you decide to go that other direction, make sure that you're sober. And that there's no reason for you to be stopped.
Okay. Hey, we're getting a break here for the news. Our guest is Monty Height. We've been talking about driving while impaired. A big program starting today.
Big campaign.
And it's going to go on through Labor Day.
Right.
Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR, Shasta Ready. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Fabat, good morning. It's 8:05 in the morning. Linda is on assignment. She's getting ready for tonight. Plus, we've got just a plethora of things that have to be done this morning so we can have some other results next week. And unfortunately, everybody has to come by at a certain time in the morning or you don't see them again. It's a Friday in Reading, and they're heading out, which is fine. I mean, that's great. Everybody can leave. But everybody has to get everything done by 10 o'clock in the morning before they go. So We have to get things done by that time, too. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite off Airport Road. We had Bill Collins in here earlier on another segment. He was making satellite sounds. I didn't know he was making satellite sounds. I could just kept hearing these beeping things as I was talking and thought that, Sean had pushed something wrong on the board and was reaching over and smacking him. But B&T Satellite puts in, you know, has the is our guy, our choice for dish satellite. Puts in surround sound systems, home theater systems. Doug Tooley, owner, has been working with customers here in the Reading area since 1985. He's a local guy. He guarantees his work. He guarantees his people's work. And he stands by what he does. That is huge. Doug Tooley, 244-1988, B&T Satellite. If you're looking to make a switch like we are, you give Doug Tooley a call. Hey, our guest on this segment is Monty Hite. We carried him over for a little bit because we're having a good time talking about how things are changing in the law enforcement world. We just got the chat room is open, by the way, my friends. And as one says, he says, I just ran a red light. They'll never take me alive. They don't have to. They have your photo. Aha. Uh-huh. You know, what is this with photos and $400 for a red light? That's more than people getting fined for beating people with lead clubs. What is that, Monty?
Well,
it's your fault.
Well, you know, actually, I was fortunate enough to be involved with the red light program right after it got started, and I worked here with Reading PD.
As an offender?
Actually, we have three officers retired. They're all retired officers. Actually, one's a captain, one's a lieutenant, and one's a sergeant. I was the only CHP officer involved in that whole program, but it's kind of
brought a little class to the whole effort.
Yeah,
is that
brought
what you're
some
saying?
Credibility to the whole thing.
There you
No, they are very credible and good folks.
Yeah,
and I don't think that the public is aware of how much discretion they have and how much tolerance they give. They give out a lot of time. You know, if you're just, I can't tell you the specifics, but I can tell you that if it's close, they're going to let you slide on it, like that type of thing. But as far as the bail schedules go, those are established through the courts, and law enforcement doesn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I know that.
And it's just one of those unfortunate things that
$400 and something.
You slow down and you make a right turn on a red light, and you know that California stop or whatever everybody likes to refer to it as. And I always say the operative word is stop. You've got to stop.
Well, on my motorcycle one day, I was pulled over by another motorcycle policeman who says, the rule is kind of like you got to put your foot down, you know, when you're making that turn. So I learned how to, you know, put my foot down because you kind of slide your foot a little bit. But, he did give me a break, by the way. He just said a stop is... One foot has to be, I think he said one foot's got to be on the ground.
Well, you know, it's depending on the officer.
This is San Diego.
Because you know, I ride also.
And, yeah, I know.
And there's
a
so many.
A foreign bike.
And a real bike, yeah, a Beamer.
Yeah, Beamer.
I have to ride in front of the Harleys because I can't hear myself if I'm behind them, you know.
Well, so, no, nor should you have to. You don't need to think on a Beamer.
But actually... that was a question that people asked. They said, well, if you're on a motorcycle in order to stop, and most people realize that if you ride a motorcycle, you can actually come to a stop without putting your foot down and then proceed. Maybe not on a Harley you can't, but on a Beamer you can. But that's another issue altogether because my role in writing Cop Talk is to provide information to the public. And occasionally I'll put my own opinion in, but the majority of the time it's what the law is, allows you to do and not do. And the other day I was talking about it being lawful here in California to split traffic. And you can split traffic if you do it a certain way. You just can't go blasting through. You have to use caution and reasonable safety and all of these different things to go through with it. And I got done explaining that that's lawful for a person. So you got 15 cars backed up at an intersection. They're waiting for the light, and the guy on the motorcycle just tools right down between the two rows and goes all the way to the front of the line. And is that lawful? I said, well, if he did it just as you said and he went down there and he didn't interfere with anybody, yeah, it's perfectly lawful. They can do that. She says, well, I don't think that that's right. And I said, well, it's not up to you to think of it's right or wrong. It's his right to do that.
It's constitutional
and,
right.
It's the ability to... And I said, you kind of got to think of it like a carpool lane. You know, if you... you never get upset if there's people, two or three more people in their car, and they're using the carpool lane, and they're going right past you, and you're not allowed to do that. Well, if you're on that bike, you're allowed to do that, to go through there. And so it's just a matter of trying to bring education to the public and say, okay, yes, you can make a right turn from the in, both lanes if they're designated lanes, and they explain, because I think a lot of people, they hesitate when they're not certain what they're supposed to do, and that causes grief with everybody that's behind them. That's trying, why is that goofball not moving? So... That's the whole
I've
idea.
Got a couple of questions about goofballs and driving. But the other thing, too, is because if you do your line splitting and you get up to the light, at that point, can you build a mosque? Because that's your constitutional right, too. Or you probably don't want to talk about that. Yeah, do your money.
No, we're not doing the Obama situation. You know, it's a, well, yeah, and that's a, but, you know, I would be the first to say that, yes, you do have a right to, but why would you?
You know?
You know, and that's pretty much simple. But...
Okay, well, we're going to cover a few other things, like, you know, on people driving in the left-hand lane on the freeway at a slow speed. Why are they allowed to do this? And, you know, that because of people piling up behind them. I want to talk about that, plus a couple of other things here. Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Monty Hyde. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:15 in the morning. It's 68 degrees. It's on its way up to 98 today. It's going to be a great day. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo. We'll be out there tonight. Linda will be singing and have, let's see, Lou White will be out there with her, Johnny Gonzalez, Rick Hill. It's going to be just a great time up there. If you haven't made your reservations, you might want to call. I don't know if there's any left, but we just have a good time on Friday nights. I'd like to announce that tomorrow we're having a special encore day with Dr. Naomi Oreskes. She's going to be on at 3 o'clock tomorrow. It's a she was going to be on last Sunday. And, my friends... We had a technical problem that led us to led to suicide. No, it wasn't seppuku or anything like that, but had about four of us running around here with our hair on fire while we were trying to fix it. But this was under Wake Up with Doug Craig. He's got a great show, by the way, on Sundays from 10 to 11. And his guest on a pre-recorded show was Dr. Naomi Oreskes, who talks about political misbehavior, global warming, and just any number of subjects. It's an interesting show. A very interesting show. That's going to be played tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on KCNR. And then in Doug's show, we'll be back live again, of course, on Sunday. You know, we have that new Sunday lineup from 8 to 10. We have Around the House with Carl Hawkins. And Carl's expanded his Around the House to around a lot of different things into the sports world. But, you know, fixing your car, also fixing your home. And then Doug Craig from 10 to 11 with a wake-up call. And he discussed He discussed all types of different subjects on what's going on in our community, our world, our environment. And then, of course, from 11 to 12, Donnie Greenberg. And Donnie gets a lot of phone calls from all over the world while she's on, since we stream all over the world. So our Sunday lineup has opened up, and it's a great lineup. And I invite you all to come in and listen to them, tune in and listen to them. And then, of course, right after Donnie, Gun Talk. How could you miss that with Tom Gresham? Our guest today is Monty Hyde. And we've been talking about that the DUI, there's a new offensive going against people that are driving under the influence or driving while impaired. It began at midnight this morning.
Correct.
It's going to go through Labor Day.
Yes.
But also we want to talk about a couple other things. You know, we talked about going through stoplights. Like we said, somebody said, I just went through a stoplight, they'll never take me alive. You know, that's not a good thing to say around here. I mean, you know, that may not be, okay, like, catch me if you can and see what happens, all right? You've been a highway patrolman for, you were a highway patrolman for a long time.
31 years.
31 years. Let me ask you a question about concealed carry. You pull somebody over to say you're speeding. They have a concealed carry permit. Tell you, don't tell you.
You know, it's one of those situations if an officer approaches you, and it depends where the location of the weapon is also, because a lot of times people carry a concealed that may not be on their person. If it's on their person, and that's one thing. If you carry it in your glove compartment, if it's some way during that contact, the officer says, "I'd like to see your license registration," and you happen to have your wallet in your jacket pocket and it's close to your weapon, the first thing you want to be able to say, "Oh, sir, I have a concealed weapons permit and I have a weapon on me at this time." And then we're going to go right through all of the little steps. It's just an officer safety kind of thing. So,
what can you expect if that happens?
Well, generally, the officer will say, "You might as well step out of the car, sir," and he'll come over and then have you. It's one of those. I don't want to allow that person to have access to until I'm absolutely certain, even if you do. But so what I'll generally do is ask him to have. Where's the weapon? And he'll say, "It's in my pocket." And I said, "I'm gonna grab it," and I'll remove it for him, or I'll make it as least uncomfortable as possible. But all too often, you have people, unfortunately, that are in possession of firearms that will try that approach, knowing that they're stopped and they think they're going to get searched, and so they try that and they use that as an ambush attack, you know, to put the officer at ease, and that's why you'll see the officer, he'll be standing there, he's at his got his hand maybe on his firearm, and he's waiting just to make certain that we get the weapon released. But more times than not, the people that have firearms permits, they're very knowledgeable on, "I have this permit." But if the stop goes where I stopped for registration and your firearm is on the seat in a gun rug or wherever it happens to be, and there's no reason that I'm going to look for it, there's no reason to bring the issue up.
Okay.
But the officer appreciates knowing it, but then you understand that you're going to go through a couple little extra steps.
Right. There's nothing that says they have to tell you.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I'm just reading, because you know, when you see people that have taken the classes, and there's, you know, you get different information from different instructors. So it's the main thing.
Well, you know, they always want, you're right. The biggest thing is just safety, and so it's just a matter of making the officer alert to the fact that he may come across the firearm in the vehicle, and it's just.
Yeah, it's something you don't want to be threatening at this point.
Right. There's just, we've had enough incidents as of late around here that we just don't need any other incidents to spring up and all of a sudden somebody gets injured as a result of a mistake.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Monty Height. He retired California Highway Patrolman, but writes great articles on a record search site. He talks about different things, and we're here just to ask him questions about what's going on, and also for you. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. If you've got a question for Monty, just give us a call, or also just join our chat room and ask Monty a question. Anything that has to do with the law enforcement, mainly of the California Highway Patrol side. But any other questions, too? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, you're not on the dark side. We haven't gone to the dark side. You haven't seen the dark side yet. You can't handle the truth. Oh, okay. One of the favorite lines from a great scene in the movie. I didn't like the movie per se because it has Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise acting manly always scares me. But the fact is that scene there with Jack Nicholson is... It's got to be, it's got to be one of the top scenes, and I think it's been voted as probably one of the top scenes from movies in the last 100 years of film. Our guest is Monty Height, and we were been talking about all different types of law enforcement issues per se on the road, but we've been getting some questions also coming in from the chat room, and the latest one is, how can you tell the differences? Bob,
how does marijuana,
the difference between marijuana
and alcohol and the effect of it, and how can you tell when they're driving?
So it's, and I addressed this before in saying that impairment is impairment, regardless of whether you're impaired because you had too much to drink, you had too much to smoke, and it doesn't. And marijuana folks defend their position by saying, well, generally we're more aware and we go slower and we do different things, and that's actually probably true, in that if you see a guy going down the road and it's on the freeway and he's only going 15 miles an hour, that's another clue that there might be an impairment of some type. So
eating a hamburger.
So it's the idea is no, you're not going to have, you're going to give them a field sobriety test, you're going to check their ability to to function properly, their motor skills and everything else. You're not going to get that smell of alcohol. You may get a smell of marijuana, but maybe he's under the influence of marijuana, but he's been eating marijuana cookies, and so there is no odor of that. But there will be objective symptoms with the reaction to light, all kinds of things that I don't go in specifically what they are, but they're field sobriety tests specifically to test for that, and I hate to think that people can, because they're 215 holder, that they for somehow think that it's okay for them to continue to drive. It's no different than if you got a prescription for anything else. So
okay, is the passenger allowed to smoke marijuana? And you know, there's an open container law in the car, but how about the passenger? Are they allowed to smoke?
If the law changes,
uh-huh.
If the law changes, then what would be the violation? You know, I mean,
but it's against the law to have an open container in the car, right?
Right. And
so if the passenger is smoking and he's got one lit up, is that going to be? Does that mean the driver gets busted?
You know, I haven't heard that, but
that's a good question.
Well, because you talk about secondhand smoke, but I went through and I did all kinds of checking on, because I was always concerned. You know, if you're in a car and everybody's smoking and you're not, are you going to be just as impaired as everybody else? And the bottom line is, no, you're not going to be. You may get dizzy and all kinds of things, but the amount of marijuana, THC, that's getting into your system is minimal and hardly even measurable. But I don't encourage you to drive around with people that have 215 and can sit there and smoke in their car. So I don't know. I hope we don't get to that point where we have to make rules. Is it open? You know, because it's secondhand smoke. Yeah, well, can they smoke outside in front of a restaurant?
They've got rules of second. Well, you could do it like this, secondhand smoke on cigarettes.
Right.
I mean, they're saying that's causing cancer. Why can't, you know? You know, here's the thing is, Proposition 19, good or bad? I'm asking.
Oh, I think it's bad. Right. I think it's just not a good thing. But I'm looking at it from the law enforcement side of it. And also I'm looking at it, to be honest, as a person has never smoked marijuana. So I can't speak authoritative as to what the effects are, other than what I've seen the effects on hundreds of people that I've stopped and been involved in arrest. And from what I've seen, it's not good. So
okay. Yeah, well, you know, this is going to get big here in November. We've got any number of people. The big guns are saying they're against it. Feinstein, Boxer, I don't know about Jerry Brown. I think in between. Oh, never mind. I didn't say that. I hate to keep bringing it back to marijuana because that seems to be the big thing here now. You know, people with people upset because when you go by, you see, you know, that this is medicinal marijuana, yet it's being advertised like, you know, like it's your greatest high instead of what it can do for you. You see things like that, it makes you wonder sometimes. Our guest has been Monty Height, who writes an article for the Record Searchlight, Saturdays and Sundays.
Saturday's Cop Talk.
And it's called Cop Talk. It's a great article if you haven't read it. We're going to try and bring Monty back here on a regular basis so that we can talk about these things. He came in originally to talk about that the big DUI campaign.
DUI campaign, right.
Has kicked off, and it kicked off at midnight today, and it's going to go through Labor Day, and there's going to be a lot of extra law enforcement out on the road to keep you from driving while under the influence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is Carl Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment today, and we'll be back Monday. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:35 in the morning. It is 75 degrees. I think that it didn't jump up 5-10 degrees there, Sean. I don't think you had updated it, did you? Come on, tell the truth. Okay, Sean is still smiling and says, you're probably right because I'm still not even sure where I'm supposed to sit here. hey, Linda is off today on special assignment. She's got a big show tonight at Ensomo's, and if you haven't really made reservations, you might want to call early this morning. In fact, at 9 o'clock when they open, to get in there because it's where they sing it's a small room. I think there's room in there for 60 people, and they pretty much are filled up. You might give them a call. Our guest in that last segment was Monty Height. We were talking about all types of different things that can happen to you traffic-wise. And there was a last statement on the chat room, Bob. It says something like, if they just drive slow, won't that get a lot of the older citizens?
Yeah, that was one of the comments. And one of the things that, of course, is concerning as the population ages is the number of people who probably really shouldn't be behind the wheel is going to increase. And that's going to be a challenge for law enforcement in trying to determine the difference. You know, is that impairment due to advancing age or is it impairment due to some artificial factor?
Impairment.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, hey, let's go on to talking. Let's talk a few things that have been happening in our locale here today. You know, it's open line Friday. You know, we've had some guests here and we've run through some things, but our last segment here till 9 o'clock, I want to talk about some other things. You know what, my friends? Our last combat troops are leaving Iraq. All right. We won the war. We won that engagement. Every set engagement we had with Al-Qaeda, we won. In Fallujah, the Marines and the Army fought through Fallujah. Some of the worst urban combat you're ever going to see has been in the history of our country. They won. We beat them. We beat Al-Qaeda. There is peace in Iraq. Maybe not peace like there is in Reading. But in some cases, it's better than Chicago. Why isn't somebody saying, we won? We're bringing our troops home victorious. Why isn't the White House trumpeting this news? You know they need good news because every time you turn around, it's something else they've done wrong. We won in Iraq. Be proud of our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, even mothers and fathers. Be proud of their effort. They won. And now they're going to come home. And they're going to move back from home after getting time here. We're going to be having some of them will be getting out. Others will be retraining, refitting as they move to Afghanistan. Pray that we have a plan in Afghanistan. Pray that we know what we're doing there. But again, the last combat troops are leaving. Now, we're leaving 50,000 of our brothers and sisters and sons and daughters there. Non-combat. Let me tell you, my friends, non-combat is just a clever way of saying things. They're positioned throughout the country. And if the government has problems they can't handle militarily or logistically, these troops will get engaged. They're not going to be out patrolling every day. They're not going to be doing all those other things. They've turned over the security to the Iraqi security forces, you know, and hooray for them. But they are still there. We still have people there. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Roadrunner, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what do you think about us winning in Iraq and nobody saying anything about it?
What? Oh, you mean because we brought all our troops home?
Brought our combat troops home. We won.
Well, yeah, the war's over, isn't it? I mean, we did really good over there. All those people are going to be saved, and they're going to have a wonderful economy just like ours here.
Well, no, their economy will probably be better. They've got it based on something more than just promises. No, I've just, you know, Roadrunner, what I was saying was is that, you know what? We brought our last combat troops home. We spent 4,000 lives there, but we won this. They've got free elections. They've got peace. They've got, in fact, at times it's more peaceful than large cities here in the United States as far as people getting murdered.
Yes. Well, nobody gets murdered in the United States, do they?
Well, I said it's safer there than it is in many places here in the United States. Chicago. We used to watch that and see that there was more young Americans killed in Chicago over a weekend than there was in Iraq during the worst of times. Anyway, you called for something else completely.
I did indeed. I called you day before yesterday, and I'd like to bring it up again this time. It's a really good benefit. There's a young lady named Shelley Spooner who is a rider with our groups, and she went down on her motorcycle and was seriously injured sometimes several weeks ago. And tomorrow, Saturday the 21st, at Gendra's 76th station between 9 a.m. in the morning and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. They're doing a car wash and a bake sale because they're trying to raise money for an uncovered cost. The woman had medical insurance, but she was airlifted by helicopter, and the cost for that was $31,000, and that's not covered by any portion of her policy. So they're trying to raise money for her. It's a good opportunity for us to go and eat some cupcakes and brownies and get our cars washed and do it all for a good purpose. So I just wanted to bring it up, Carl, and I really appreciate it. You and Linda just do so much for this.
Well, you know what? It's, you know, I hope people don't get tired of us saying this, but it's an honor to live here and to be able to help our community. The community turns to and helps each other. And I hope they do this, and I hope that they support this. And you know, it was tragic, but at the same time, we had somebody on our show who flew those flights, and we were able to talk about how insurance, you can buy insurance, I believe, on for these medical flights for something like $50.
Yes,
and I would recommend that to anybody who rides a motorcycle or takes ATVs or anything. Get that $50 or $75. That's a year. It's not a month. To get that insurance, so if they have to come after you, that's not going to cost you this much money.
Well, you know, you could have that insurance for 10 years and never use it, and then if you used it one time, it would have been well worth your investment.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, so it's made me think that yes, I need to do it too.
Well, our next door neighbor, if we had on as a guest here, is the guy that flies those. You know, he's the last guy you want to see, but maybe he's the first guy you want to see. But he flies those. He makes those flights. So, hey, Roadrunner. Thanks a lot. Tell us one more time when it's going to be and where.
Okay, it's tomorrow, Saturday the 21st. It's going on between 9 a.m. in the morning and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It's at Gendra's 76 Station. That's the Union Oil Station that's right at the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. And it's all for a great cause. This young woman can really use our help. All you bikers out there that are listening to Carl's station, as we mostly all do, hop on the bike, go over there. I don't know if they'll wash your bike, but they probably will. And get a cupcake or a brownie and a cup of coffee or something and help out to a good cause.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks, Carl.
You take care there, Roadrunner.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got a few questions on the chat room. We've got other things we need to talk about, including is it censorship or is it just good journalism? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:46 in the morning. We're running down. It's Friday. It's happy day. It means there's only two more working days until Monday. 75 degrees. It's going to be 98 degrees today. It's going to be a nice time to walk around. This weekend's even going to be cooler, so we can be talking about riding that Harley or riding those other bikes that leave little piles of rice underneath them. Or if it's a Beamer, it's like a little piles of, I don't know, Wiener Schnitzel, if you're, that's what Monty Height drives. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. I was in there yesterday getting my haircut in the military way it is. And I asked, you know, there's a big argument going on. Okay, I have passed the age of 55. I may joke about it. I may say that I'm 40 and that I'm, you know, 15 years younger than Linda. All that is a lie. Okay, don't get into fights about it. I am above the age of 60, barely. And the other thing, too, is that the Cypress Square Barbershop, great haircuts, great prices, and you will not find gel in this place. It's man's last stronghold. It's a great place to go. They trim your hair. They trim your beard. Bob, did you have it?
I plan on going down there after the show today.
There you go.
Getting her done.
Getting her done. Well, you know, get rid of that Gabby Hayes look there. Let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Morning, Carl.
How are you doing?
Doing good. You know, I was hearing a little Dr. Laura plug, and I was curious. Now she's been driven off the air for telling the truth. Do you have any idea who you're going to put in her spot?
Well, you know what? That's a good question because, you know, it was caught everybody by surprise. Now, I read something the other day that she had said that it's not enough for her to apologize or for people to apologize today. You know, now it's destruction of the other side. And
I don't think she should apologize. She was telling the truth.
Well, the thing is it for in her what in her words, from what I understand, that
I heard the audio last night. I agreed with her.
Well, and many people did, but her sponsors have been starting to pull out. Other sponsors she's added. But the bottom line, going back to your question, what are we going to do? we started talking about that. What we're going to do is we're going to play four or five different shows. We're going to let you all tell us what you're interested in and let our listeners make that decision. We're going to let
you always play some great programs. I love your daytime lineup. So
we're going to give you all some, give our listeners some choices. You know, how many times have the listeners been given the opportunity to say, "Hey, look, I like this show," and we're going to have different places around town you can vote. You can vote online. You can vote by going into businesses like Tobacco and Brew and other places, and say which ones. Because we're going to have a list of them that we will have available, and here in the next month or two, and we're going to start doing that because. The shows we have are ones that we want you to enjoy. And I think that, having input in will help us give you the shows that you want to listen to.
You have some great shows. I love your Saturday lineup as well.
Well, we're getting ready to expand that out a little more. I think we've got some really good surprises coming up here that kind of also fits into our community and our hunting and fishing. So it's,
that'll be great.
Yeah, and we've got that. We've got ideas. We've expanded now, as we said, into Sundays, and so it's going to be. This is community radio, and as we expand, as somebody wrote to us, is it's not just going to be Saturdays and Sundays. We're going to start opening up, more shows during the week for our community, from people in our community, and as we move along here.
Are you thinking nighttime pass stuff?
Yeah, I'm thinking around that.
That would be great. I look forward to that, Carl. Thank you for taking that question. I appreciate it.
You bet. We're talking about what Dr. Laura said. She used the N-word repeatedly in a comments she made to a listener. And she did it to make a point, as she said. And just, she made an immediate apology, but it wasn't enough. It was, for people, a lot of people. We got a list of, sponsors that said they don't want to be played during her time. But other sponsors have added in. Personally, we talked about this, that not being politically correct can destroy you if you're on one side of the spectrum. On the other side of the spectrum, it's okay. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Carl Linda Bott. Linda had this morning on assignment. It's been a great day. It's been a great week. This weekend we've got some, our great community shows coming on. I mean, these people are pros. We've got Saturday and Sunday. We're continuing to expand our weekend programming for our listeners and our listener base. New types of shows. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised as we move into next month. As Jay had asked about any types of shows during the week, yeah, we're starting to look at that too, because if we can do it, we'll expand it. As long as we have the listenership and the sponsors, of course, we will put more of our community shows out. This next week on our lineup next week on Monday, Francie Sullivan, running for city council, will be on. On Tuesday, Sheriff Basenko. On Wednesday, the Survivor Stride about people surviving cancer, with Sharon and her guest to talk about that. On Thursday, we're having Eric Wittstrom talking about banking problems, but also Phil Smith, who is the new director of KIXE, Channel 9, who has been in the paper today because of a decision he made. And then next Friday, Doug LaMalfa will be on our show. We've got a full lineup next week. Now, somebody sent a blog in, or on the chat room's kind of like over there, and the computer's smoking right now, but somebody said, well, what did we accomplish in Iraq? Well, when you tie what we did militarily to what we did politically, there's going to be that argument forever, why'd we go in? At the time, and this is what people seem to forget, at the time, everybody agreed on the fact that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction or the capability of having them. Nobody said he was involved in 9/11. Everybody goes, oh, no, Bush lied about that. Well, Bush never said that he was in 9/11. If the mistakes were saying he had weapons of mass destruction that were never found. There were other things found afterwards. They, yes, they were shells found with with chemical weapons in the shells have been buried for years. Did he have chemical? Did he have weapons of mass destruction? Yes, at one point he did. He used them. I mean, come on, everybody knows that. But what was accomplished there? Well, you know, I can just remember one thing specifically, and I can talk about several others. That we had 4,000 of our family killed over there in accidents or directly in combat, and thousands of others wounded and maimed, and will be forever touched by the battle in Iraq. I remember the women that were walking down the street, arms and joined. Everybody there, they had their arms through the arms of each other, and they were singing as they walked down the street the first time to vote. They were told they'd be killed if they went down and voted. They were told they were targeted specifically for women to actually vote and have a say in what goes on in their life and their government for the first time in their history. And they marched down the street singing, tears down their face because they were afraid. And they voted that first time. The joy of that vote, that they actually had something to say about their future, that they have something to say about their government. And now women are serving in their government. They have something that no other person or no other countries around there have except in Israel. They have rights.
We have a comment from the chat room regarding, can you address our ability to control Iraq's borders but still have trouble with our own?
We can control our borders. That's a good question. We want to go out and control these, but why can't we control our own? Well, we can control our borders. That's the problem. We can control the borders of the United States and Mexico if we had the will, the political will to do it. Right now, I'm seeing is that unemployment has spiked again, my friends. 500,000 last week. It's the biggest in 9 months. They're losing construction jobs in Georgia, thousands of them. Why are they losing construction jobs? We're not building. But how much of our money is being spent on people being here illegally? How much? Can we control our borders? Yes. I'm telling you right now, yes. You know it. Yes. Pelosi knows it. Of course, she'd rather find out who this conspiracy is that questions the building of a mosque. Talk about a wrong thing to say. You know, and as we leave here on Friday, we've got so much to be thankful for in this country. So much. I love this country. Linda loves this country. But what we need to do is come together. We need to take the effort to join and to have our voices heard. Find that organization that you can be with. Stand together. If there have to be changes made, let's make them. Let's make them at the voting booth. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's the home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR Shasta Redding.